It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thanks a lot for joining me for our weekly 15-minute visit where we get to talk about hunting and fishing here on KETR. You know, we cover the gamut on stuff. One week we'll be talking about outdoor cooking and then elk hunting the next. Let's talk about quail hunting this week. Now, Billy Burnett owns Hidden Lakes Hunting Resort, which is in Yanis, right up in the heart of KETR country near Lake Fork. I just got back from a fun hunt. It was my grandson's first quail hunt. We want to talk about the place, the hunt, and everything to do with quail. Billy, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Luke, I appreciate you coming down as usual, and seems like the kids had a wonderful time down here hunting.
They are still talking about it, Billy. Folks, I have twin grandsons that are 13 and then another grandson that's 13. These boys are all 13 years old. And, Billy, they never had the thrill of walking up behind a pointer, a good bird dog, and seeing a quail flush until we went down there recently here just a few days ago to Hidden Lakes, to your place. And I'm telling you what, these boys are still on cloud nine. That's all they're talking about. They had a great time. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm used to maybe having one kid, one inexperienced person, maybe two, but not three. your guy, I was a little bit uneasy in the beginning because I know how kids are. But Steve, excellent guy that was with us, he did a very good job of briefing the boys, and honestly, not bragging on them, but they do know how to listen, and they followed his instructions and kept on line, kept their barrels up, kept their safeties on. And their other grandpa, Phil Zimmerman, was there. We were taking pictures and running behind. We were doing I'm trying to stay out of the action, but Steve did a great job. And safety first on any, whether you're 12 years old or 50, and he did a good job. And those boys wound up getting on some birds, and we brought a big bag of them back to eat, you know?
Well, it seemed like that they had a great time, and like you said, the bag was packed full when they got back up here. But getting back to our guides that we have, every guide that's here that hunts with Hidden Lakes, they have to carry me hunting once or twice before they can ever hunt out here on their own, and I have to watch their dogs and make sure they're very safety conscious. And the five guides we have now, each and every one of them, from we've had down to 8-year-old kids and 9-year-old kids shooting, and out there with them, they're very conscious of it. The birds, they make sure that the dogs are clear, and the guides are just really, really great with kids. And even inexperienced grown-ups and adults that, you have the same thing comes out here. So many more people now and ladies picking up these guns and hunting birds, and they're just beginning to really love it. We have a field full out here this morning, huh?
That's awesome. You know, Billy, guys that are your age, my age, I'd say anyone past about the age of 40, might be able to remember when quail hunting was good in Northeast Texas. But by and large, I won't say there are no wild quail, but there are very, very few. I'd be hesitant if I owned a piece of property and there was a little covey, I'd be hesitant to shoot them. They're that few. But a good shooting preserve, that's the point I want to stress. Like Hidden Lakes is a place you can go, folks, and these birds are not raised in the wild, but the way they're raised, they perfectly, they're as close to wild birds as you can come up with, Billy. And I guess the key to that is the fact that they're not exposed to man during their, when they're raised, are they?
That's correct, Luke. We get these birds, they're one day old. I mean, they were born yesterday, and we get them today, and we put them in totally enclosed brooder barns with heat, automatic waters, and feeders. And the key part to quail raising that I have found out, and I have done a lot of this since back in 1980 and then got out of it and now back into it with the hunting preserve, and you keep total seclusion from these birds. The first 2 weeks of their life, whatever they see and recognize, this is what they want to follow as mama. And if you're in there every day, when you turn the burns out, they're going to come right to you instead of fly. And we stay away from our birds. And when they're young, at 2 weeks old, the first trip in there, they dress in a painter's suit, snow white suit, with a mask on, and they go in to put feed back out for these birds again for the next 2 weeks. So really they've never seen a human being until they get on up at the 10 and 12 weeks old, and then we try to hunt our birds at 16 to 20 weeks is even better.
So by that point, you know, they're adult birds. And then, you know, Billy, being in the long pens where they can condition to fly, they fly daily. And, you know, that alone has got to be a huge plus because, you know, they, granted, they are in a big enclosure, but they can fly from one end to the other, and they do, and it strengthens their wings and makes them hard flyers, doesn't it?
Our flight pens are about 160 foot long, 30 foot wide, and they're 16 foot tall. And we always hang a few odds and ends back across in there so the birds will dart and have to move and go around certain things in there. And it gets them just like the old East Texas honey out here. When you get a covey of birds, you never got one out in the open. It was always in the edge of the woods.
Exactly.
And when they got up, they scattered, and if you were going to get one, you better do it pretty quick.
That's true.
But we took our flight birds that we have now, like I said, 20 weeks old is so much better to hunt a bird. It is just that much more mature. It can fly better. It has better flight feathers on the end of his wings and his tail's out. And they can just get around much faster and better than they can at the 16 weeks old.
Well, you know, I could present this challenge to most anybody. I've hunted down there with my grandsons who had never shot a quail, and I've hunted down there and other places, especially Hidden Lakes, with some really good wing shots. Bob Hood is a really good wing shot, and I'm an average wing shot. I've hunted with some really good shots, and I challenge someone to, you know, you hear a lot about, well, these are pen-raised birds or whatever. There's pen-raised birds, and there's pen-raised birds. These are raised the right. These birds know what it's like to get out there and fly. But somebody that thinks it's not challenging, they just really need to try it one time, Billy. And I think they'll change. You know, they'll see the full picture there. You know.
Well, we raised all of our quail last year. I run out right at the end of the season. I had some extremely good clients that hunt here nearly every week. It's just, they said it's better than their lease. They were birds here. They had a great time. And at the end of the year, I had to buy a few different birds. Well, we put those out, and they came back in. Nothing was ever said. They came back in for lunch, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Them are not your birds."
Yeah, yeah.
I said, "Well, you know, we talked on a little," and he goes, "No, they're not your birds, are they?" And I told him, "No, they wasn't my birds." But this year we raised about another 2,000 or 3,000 more, so we should have all of ours for the full year this year.
Well, that's awesome, Billy. Someone that's in KETR, there's people listening to us now all over Northeast Texas. So, folks, if you would like to bring your youngsters in and let them come out on their first quail hunt like I did with the grandsons, or if you're an old quail hunter longing to get back behind a good bird dog, a good shooting preserve is a viable option for you. And right here close to home, Billy, you know, we're lucky here in KETR country to have you. I mean, you're just Lake Fork or Yanis is in close proximity to lots of people, you know.
Yeah, it is, and you know, we're just, and we went to great detail, like I said, to find the right places to hunt, and each field we have is fully separated from any other fields where other hunters, you may hear a shot somewhere, but you don't see other hunters. And it's very secluded from any highway, roads, and the new lodge we built this year, it just seems that everyone is just really loves it. and we're just tickled to death to have them all down here.
You bet. You know, I enjoyed your old setup very much. It was a nice lodge back there, a nice home, actually, that served as the lodge. And a big part of coming down there to hunt with you is the awesome lunch that's served at about high noon right after the quail hunt. And it was good there. It's the same great food, but the new lodge, I remember talking to you when you were planning it. You know, you showed me some plans on it, and it's a long time in the making, but in the planning. But it's fortunate here in Northeast Texas, Billy, to have a spot like that close to home. I know a lot of people are taking advantage of it too, aren't they?
They really have, Luke. And like I said, we have about 14,700 square foot under roof decks. We have a beautiful garden out here that we do offer weddings on. We do Christmas parties. We can handle up to 180 people and feed them and take care of them. And we can sleep 16. We have 8 rooms with double beds here. And it's just really worked great for the hunter that comes down for the full experience and come down and maybe hunt, and then they'll be out in the evenings and sitting around talking out on the patio covered, and then they spend the night and have breakfast the next morning, and they just really seem to be enjoying it.
Billy, let me ask you this. A guy that's got some bird dogs, pointers, setters, upland dogs, and maybe doesn't have a spot to hunt out west or in Oklahoma, or doesn't want to, maybe he's following the biologist systems this year and leaving what wild quail that might be on his place. If he wants to work his dogs on quail, you offer those type hunts too, right?
Yes, we do. We the first time you hunt here, you have to hunt with a guide. It's kind of insurance rules and regulations, but we also want to see how you hunt, if you're safety conscious, and so you'll know the field that we put you in. We have 4 hunting fields here. And the one we carry you to the first time that the guide's with you, and you can always have a guide and bring your own dogs. All of our guides have ATVs with dog boxes on them. They also have trailers back behind, so they can carry from usually around 6 to 12 dogs with them when they go out hunting. Welcome to bring yours. Put it down with our dogs. You can hunt your by yourself. Then the next time you come out, we have an ATV sitting here with a dog trailer on it. You come out. Your birds have been put out in the field. We'll get you paperwork signed up. You got the keys to it, you and one buddy, or you by yourself, or you and 2 or 3 more. Head out to your field, and you hunt, and then you come back in by 11:30, and we'll have you a sit-down lunch with every hunt, whether it's morning or evening, that comes with it. And we'll just go over and process and clean and vacuum pack your birds for your departure while you're having lunch.
That's an awesome program right there, Billy, and it's one that I know a lot of people are taking advantage of. You know, we're talking all about quail right now, but we've got time in our show to quickly talk about pheasant and chucker. They're, in my humble opinion, there is no better eating than a chucker, and pheasant are not too shabby either. I love them.
That is very true, and we do offer all-day pheasant hunts, half-a-day pheasant hunts. We even have the European-driven tire hunts that we put on, which takes about 20 shooters to shoot these, where we release 300 to 500 birds out of a tire in the woods that you can't see. And very, very challenging shooting. They get extremely high. And then the chucker. Our chucker is a additive bird that we highly suggest. If you have a pheasant hunt, add you 2 or 3 chucker per person to that group of a morning. If you're hunting quail that evening on a mixed bird hunt, you can add your chucker right into the quail that evening, and it is, I just called it a souped-up quail that's about twice as big.
Oh, and they are. I've hunted, you know, truly wild chucker a couple of times in my life, and like a sharp-tailed grouse, too. But they're hard-flying birds and excellent eating. Well, Billy, one other thing is the fact that I guess the main thing I want to stress is that wild quail, for most of us, are simply, I hate to say it, but they're hard to come by. There's not many. The leases are way off. People that want to enjoy the first hunt, they can do it. Now, how about if they want to contact, how about leading them to the website, Billy, and then a phone number if they want to talk more quail with you? How do they do that?
just look, if you go onto the website, and the way to get to it is HiddenLakesHuntingResort.com. That's HiddenLakesHuntingResort.com. And then if you'd like to talk to me in person, my cell phone is 903-714-7574.
Billy, thank you, sir. And folks, we are out of time. Remember catfishradio.com, where you can listen to the archive of our hour-long show that we do each week. Till this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.